Let the church say amen. Amen. Brother Miles, no apology needed. That's fine if you wanted to go through it even again. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with singing praises and hymns unto the Lord. It's good to hear Brother Miles up with the singing once again. We had some good replacements, but Brother Miles is, as Brother Burnside has dubbed him, the golden voice. So
I'm not sure. I'm not worthy.
So good morning to everyone. It's good to see all. Well, say good morning again.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, preacher.
You ought to act like you're in the household of faith. That's speaking loud. And we try to draw a crowd.
Yes, sir. All right, preacher.
But we can do more with a few than some can do with a lot.
Come on, preacher. Yes, sir.
But nevertheless, it's good to be here because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. For God is good. And all the time, God is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
His grace and mercy endureth forever.
There you go.
Amen. This morning, we're going to talk on a familiar topic. We're going to try not to be too long, but you know how that goes. I might close 4 or 5 times before I sit down, but nevertheless, we're so glad to see everyone that's here this morning. We're glad to see all those that are visiting with us. We're glad to see those who are just at home, and this is where you ought to be, at home, right here with us. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again that you touched our eyelids this morning from our sleep and our slumber. You caused us to wake up and be a part of the living crowd once again. We thank you, O Lord. Father, we are so blessed because we know you and we know and serve and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Father, we come praying this morning for all of those who are here this morning, and we pray for those who still might be on their way. We pray also for those who are not here, but should have been here, but for some unknown reason or circumstances could not be here.
Right.
We pray that they might be with us at the next appointed time. Mm-hmm. We pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray for the brethren who have taken part in the services up till now and their families as well. And we pray for those men that shall continue behind us from this point on. Father God, we just pray this morning and for the sick and the shut in, all of those who are sick and shut in, all of those who are grieving, all of those who are lost this morning, we pray for them. Father, we pray for Sister Taylor's grandson, Nicholas. He found himself up against the wall, but Lord, you know what it is already. And Father, I just pray that you help him to get through what he's going through right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray this morning and ask you to be with these services this morning that we are into right now, O Lord. We pray that the things we say and do might be found acceptable in thy sight. Father, we pray for those who are not yet a part of us because they have not put on you, O Lord. We just pray that you would give them a space and time that they come before it's everlasting too late. Father, we thank you so very much for everything you do for us. And Father, in the years that I've had, I know you've done so much for me and for all of us. I know that you've done things for. But Father, we continue to seek your blessings this morning.
Amen.
And ask you to continue to grant them to us if it be your will.
Amen.
Father, I pray for the families who have lost a loved one. And Father, it seems as though every time we pick up a newspaper, turn on the radio or the TV, we see another one gone, oh Lord. And we just pray that you would take some of the evilness out of this city, out of this country, out of this world, that people will learn to get along and love one another just a little bit more.
All right.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who you sent down to this world to hang, to bleed, and to die, and then to come back to be with you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for everything, all things, and anything. Please be with us this day. Watch over and keep us. Give us the strength to carry on. Give us the blessings we need to go on. Thank you for everything, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
This morning, the subject was text was read for you, hearing from John chapter 3. I'll reread it just for sake of emphasis. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Yes,
Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This morning we're going to talk for a few minutes, except one be born again. Most of us have heard this message or one just like it. You may have heard it from a different teacher. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus himself spoke it to us when he spoke it to Nicodemus. During these times in which we are living, where anything goes, we need to be able to sort out the right from the wrong. We need to be able to speak the word of God as it has been given. Far too many of us want to reinterpret the word of God so that it fits our thoughts and our actions at the time. But when we think about it, the Bible has already spoken to us on the matter. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it speaks of that the scriptures are of no private interpretation, not from the will, and that it came from the will of man, but by the holy men, not from the will of man, but by the holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he was speaking the will of God. Let us look to God's word this morning. What being born again does not mean. When we are born, we have a physical birth. Jesus had to feel the question from Nicodemus in verse number 4. How can a man be born again? So in verse number 5, we find the answer from the mouth of Jesus. It is like the physical birth minus the man and the woman coming together. But still, it's like a physical birth because it's the beginning of the spirit-filled life. But it is not connected with the flesh. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, read with me if you will, John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The Bible says, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God, sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let me add just one thing to that. It is the beginning of a new you, or a new us, if you will. According to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me add a note of caution to that. being born again is not about what we can do for the Lord. It is about what he does for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We did not deserve this, but Jesus died to give us this opportunity. It is a gift from God. A gift is what someone gives us when it's your birthday. It's what someone gives us when it's your anniversary. It's what someone gives us when we have a special occasion. If we are blessed, we get more than one gift when it's our birthday. And every time we think of that person, we smile and remember what they gave us, whether it was good or whether we hated it. We still think of them. We still say thank you. Should we not be thanking Jesus for his gift to us? Many don't show up for church because we don't think what Jesus gave us was worthy enough. Now, we don't say that, but apparently that's our thinking because we're not here. You know, I watched yesterday on a news clip where people stood out in the rain to walk or run for something or another. We always come up with something to run for. They stood out in the rain and they ran in the rain. But on a sunny day, we can't get many people to show up at church at all. So I don't get it, but I guess it's not for me to see, but the Lord will make a way. Now, but being born again means one needs to be born again in order to come to Jesus. As was explained by Jesus to Nicodemus, one does not have to go back into his mother's womb. Instead, it is being born of water and the Spirit. It means to become a child of God. It means we can become the Son of God and we shall be like him, like Jesus, according to 1 John. It also means we can become a part of the family of God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. It means every one of us as believers can receive the same Holy Spirit. We can serve the same God, the one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. According to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. So somebody might ask the question this morning, why being born, is it necessary to be born again? Just as Jesus told Nicodemus in verse 7 of our text, you must be born again. For it is the only way we can escape this sin-sick world is by coming to the acceptance that Jesus is Lord and Master. That Jesus is the only way to heaven, and most importantly, Jesus is the only way to miss hell. The facts are plain and simple enough for all to see. That is to put on Jesus in baptism. Not because your granny wants you to put on him. Not because your mother wants you to put on him. Not because you'd rather wait till everybody in the family can get here. But you ought to put him on as soon as under the heavens as possible. You put him on for the remission of our sins. Somebody say, well, why wait? And I ask that same question. This very moment is all that we have, for we don't know the next moment. Down into the watery grave of baptism, and they will come up a new creature, a child of God. Then one becomes a member of the body of the only blood-bought institution in the New Testament, the Church of Christ. The only one Jesus built, he said in Matthew 16 and 18, upon this rock I will build my church. Then the Bible further states in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28 that it was purchased with his own blood. And he opened it up for all to be saved through. Through his spilled blood. It is the only church that where the builder is still living in heaven. All the other founders of all the different churches out, so-called churches out here, none of the founders will live forever, but Jesus will live forever. So why wait? Jesus already said you must be born again. Why not do it? Why wait? The very important moment, this very important moment is all that we have. For we don't know if we have the next moment coming to us. We don't know if the next moment will be ours or not. We may not see next Sunday or even the rest of this Sunday when I think about it. There is but one way to Jesus. That is, one must be born again. There is but one church called out in the New Testament. One church, the one that bears the name of Christ. Romans 16 and 16 says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The one that was spoken of on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The one Christ shed his blood for. The same one that we can be a member of today. So when I look at the text and go back to it, Jesus said in verse number 3, verily I say it unto, Jesus answered and said unto him, very, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in the mother womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Right. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. How can I be born again? Well, it's pretty simple to be born again. You hear the word of God according to Romans 10 and 17. You believe Jesus to be the Son of God according to Mark 16. In verse number 16, you repent of your past sins according to Luke 13 and 3, and you confess your faith in Christ according to Matthew 10 and 32. Finally, you be baptized for the remission of sin in Luke 16 and verse number 16. Now, I've given you all the reasons why a man must be born again, but you must be born again because one reason is you ought to love the Lord enough. If you love the Lord, you know, think about it for a moment. Think about what God has done for us. I couldn't do what God did. You couldn't do what God did. And so we would be lost without what God sent his only begotten Son down to this earth to hang, to bleed, and to die. Now, I know that some of us may not put a lot into that because there are many folk who don't believe in the Bible. And I know that to be true because so many people say that they don't believe in God's word. But how can you not believe in the one who created us? The one who created the world. He created us from nothing and make us into something. And I say unto you this morning, why wait? Why not be born again this morning? Then when you look back at the text once again, it says, marvel not that I said unto thee that ye must be born again. Jesus said that. That's all we need to know. We don't need to question it as to why. We don't need to look any further than that one scripture right there. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. We must be born again this morning, church. When you think about how good God is to us, and we ask the question, Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for you, O Lord? Well, you can put him on in baptism. You can put him on and become a member of the body of Christ. You can put him on and become a child of God. You can put him on and live with him and be faithful to his word. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means a couple of things. That means that when it's Sunday morning, you get up and head off to church. That means that when it's Sunday morning, you leave all the yesterday behind you when you enter into the church building. That means that I come to worship God in spirit and in truth. That means the Lord's house is the house that we ought to be in on Sunday morning. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, when I look out in the audience sometimes, I see a very few people. I look out again and I see a few more people. And I ask myself, why isn't the church full? Why isn't the church full? Well, the obvious answer that I have for it is I don't know the answer. All I do know is that somebody does not love the Lord enough to be in the services of the Lord. All I know is that somebody is not adhering to Hebrews 10:25. But then I think about it and I look at it a little bit more and I say to myself, why? I mean, the Bible has already told us you must be born again. You can't be born again physically, but you can be born again through the watery grave of baptism. You can be born again through the Spirit. And somebody may ask the question, what's in the water that causes? Well, the blood meets the water and therefore, you become a member of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's the blood and the water. I don't know the chemical reactions to it. All I know is that the Bible says that you must be born again. I don't know how the blood gets in the water other than what the Bible tells me, that it's the blood and the water. The blood of Jesus flowed from the cross. I don't know much about it. All I know is you are supposed to go down in the watery grave of baptism. And when you go down in the watery grave of baptism, you come up a new creature. All things are passed away. Everything is new again. Now, I always like to say this for a point of emphasis. If you're ugly when you go down, you're ugly when you come up, but you're pretty inside. If you got corns and bunions on your feet when you go down, you still are going to have corns and bunions when you come up. But you become a new creature. You're new inside. If you're old when you go down, you come up old. If you're young when you go down, you come up young. All I can say is that it's in the water. What all that we need is in the water. So with that, I'm going to ask if there's anyone here who would like to become a member of the Lord's body. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.